حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject is the school of Imam Hussain. And in order to know Imam Hussain, we need to know the distinct task and responsibility that he was given, and the difference between his responsibility and his task as compared to the other imams. What was it that was in his time that made him rise up and that made him lead this movement? What was different than the times of other imams? First thing to understand is that all the imams, all of Ahlul Bayt, are one and the same, min nurin wahid, from one light. They are from one light. They are from one source, and hence each of them are the same. So it is not that Imam Hussain is different from the others. If anyone else was in Imam Hussain's place, he would have done the same. So when we saw the movement of Imam Hussain, and that it differed in many ways from the way the other imams had done their task, or the task and responsibilities they had, then we need to analyze four things in order to recognize the task and responsibility of Imam Hussain. Four things that we need to look at are the time, the period that Imam Hussain lived in. What was it about the time and period that Imam Hussain lived in that made him rise? The second thing we have to see is what were the circumstances that were different in his time that made him do the things that he has done. Then we have to see the enemies of Imam Hussain. What was it about the enemies of Imam Hussain that made him become shaheed and rise with his family? And the fourth thing we need to look at are the friends and companions of Imam Hussain. What is the unique quality in those companions that made Imam Hussain rise up and take the stand? These are the things that we need to analyze to see and understand who Imam Hussein is, if we are going to learn from him. If we are going to learn from him, we need to know these things. So, first of all, I will mention regarding the enemies of Imam Hussein. Who were the enemies of Imam Hussein? And by enemies I mean, who was it that opposed Imam Hussein? Who was it that was working against Imam Hussein that he had to expose, that he had to bring to the battlefield? What was the difference between those who opposed him and those who opposed the Imams before and the Imams after? This is something that if we don't understand, we wouldn't know what made the Imam rise and what made him took stand. And this is something that we need to understand. When we look back at the time of his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad,
we see that he was opposed by three groups of people. He was opposed by three groups of people, even though there were other groups that were living there. And I had explained about these different groups two Ramadans ago, that Imam had faced who these people were. But just to give you a brief idea of who these people were that Imam Ali had opposed, and he had to reveal, and he had to destroy and annihilate. It was three groups that whose names have also been taken by our Imam. And he has said that these three groups that I faced were the Qasitin, the Marikin, and the Naqisin. Qasitin, Marikin, and Naqisin. One were the group of people that came out to oppose him, and he dealt with them in the Battle of Jamal. In it was Ummul Mu'mineen also, and Talha, Zubair, and their group of people who came out to oppose the Imam. And Imam Ali dealt with them in the Battle of Jamal. The next group was the group, you see, that is known as the Khariji, and they came, and Imam Ali dealt with them in the Battle of Nahrawan, and he dealt with them in such a way that he finished off their existence. And the third group that opposed Imam Ali was the group of Muawiyah. And Imam Ali dealt with him in Siffin. And here, these three groups that were in the time of Imam Ali, you see, Imam Ali dealt with them. They came out to oppose him, they stood up, and Imam Ali dealt with them. And even though you can say that, well, Muawiyah was not killed and, you know, he went on, that was not the issue for him to kill the person. What he did with and what he did in order to make it clear to every religious person and every Islamic person in every circle of Islam, he made it such that the group of Muawiyah will always be despised. If you understand anything about Islam and Quran and Hadith and the Sunnah of the Prophet, anything regarding religion, then you would despise Muawiyah and what he stood for, because Imam Ali had exposed him in such a way. So even though Muawiyah and his group went on, but he fatally wounded them that they died later on. And here you see, these were the people that Imam Ali had dealt with, who opposed Imam Ali. But there was a fourth group. And this Fourth group I'm mentioning, if you remember the speeches from Ramadan, I had mentioned six groups of people faced Imam Ali. I'm putting the other three groups in one category and saying this is the fourth group. This is the fourth group of people that was there. And they were the bulk of the Muslims, the majority of the Muslims. They were in numbers, they had the numbers. And this was the fourth group of people that Imam Ali did not dealt with. Imam Ali did not have the chance to deal with them. But this fourth group was the most dangerous of all the groups. This was the most dangerous of all the groups, because all the other three groups who opposed Imam Ali, who stood up against Imam Ali, they stood up based on this fourth group. Because of this fourth group. This fourth group was the stimulus. It was the inspiration for these other three groups. All of them, you see, who stood up, the reason they stood up was what? Because they had this fourth group and they said, well, we are going to take the revenge of Uthman. Who are they talking to? Who are they talking to? Who are the people that these people are trying to base their argument on? Whose support is it that they are using to fight against Imam Ali? You see, this was the fourth group of people, my friends, that Imam in his time did not deal with. And it was Imam Hussein who had to deal with him, with those people. It was Imam Hussein who had to deal with them. And I want you to see, as I explain this group to you, so that it becomes clear who these people are that Imam Hussein fought against. If Ali had destroyed these three groups, then what was Imam Hussein fighting? Who was Imam Hussein fighting? Who was he? Who were opposing him? That's what we need to understand. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, friends, this fourth group doesn't have a name. They are nameless. They have no title, right? As compared to the other three groups that actually have a name and a title and a ground and a stand. The reason that it is easy, you see, it's very hard to identify this fourth group. It's very hard to identify this fourth group that Imam Hussein was dealing with. It was easy to identify these three groups. And the reason it was easy to identify those three groups, the Naqisin, the Qasitin and Marikin, and all these people that Imam Ali fought against, the reason it was easy to identify them is because those people had guts. They had gumption. They had nerve. They had the nerves to stand up. They had the guts to come out. They had the courage to make a stand against the Imam, to speak out. That's why it was easy to identify them. Okay, there they are. This fourth group of people are a group of people that is always the majority, but they are spineless and gutless. They are spineless and gutless. They don't have the courage to stand up. They don't have the gumption to make a stand. They don't have it in them to raise their voice. This was the bulk of the people. But they are always used by these others. And other people stand on their shoulders to fight. You see, this fourth group of people is very important to understand. Who are these people? You see, these were those people who had three qualities. I'll mention two of them today. Three qualities in them. And actually the third one is because of these two qualities that they have. Or it could be the other way around. Right? Either way. It's something that we need to look at and understand very carefully. If we want to know who were the enemies that Imam Hussein had faced. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This fourth group of people, the quality that made them distinct is that they were jahil and ignorant. They were jahil and their iman was weak. Their faith was weak. You know, they were jahil on one hand, they were ignorant, either by choice or by design, their own design. They wanted to remain ignorant. They were ignorant and they were those who had weak faith. Their faith was weak. And you see these people that such and such thing happened to Imam Ali. Really? We didn't hear about that. What happened? You see, it's in the news. It's there. Everyone knows it, but they remained ignorant. They wanted to stay away from things. That's, you know, we have nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with it. You see? I mean, you see that here you see Imam Ali, and Imam Ali is being opposed and fought against, and people are fighting against Imam Ali. His life is in danger. The Imam of the time is in battle. It means that his life is in danger. He says, oh, well, you know, I mean, these things, you know, I mean, I stay away from these things. It's fitna. It's politics. Right? And I don't like bloodshed. I don't like bloodshed. Your imam is involved in it. I don't like bloodshed. I don't like this. You know, you stay away from it. You hear about Muslims being killed and oppressed. And then everyone's like, you know, Islam is not about politics. Mm-hmm. What does politics have to do with children losing their lives? What does politics have to do with the imam, your imam, being in danger? You see, these were the people who were silent. These were the people who kept to themselves. These were the people who were sly. You know, they wanted to be in charge. They want power, but they don't have the guts to ask for it, to come forward to it. That's what these people are. And you see, these are the people that opposed Imam Hussein, and Imam Hussein wanted to expose them. Imam Hussein wanted to expose them. He wasn't trying to expose Yazid. He wasn't trying to reveal the evils of Yazid.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see, a lot of people think, oh, he exposed you. Yazid didn't need it to be exposed. Everyone knew who Yazid was. Everyone knew who he was.
Yes.
In his father's time, he had come to Medina. Yazid had come to Medina. You know, his father made sure he had an escort of advisors to make sure that he doesn't make himself look like a fool, bigger fool than he is. So when he came to Medina, they arranged a gathering of all the, you know, Muslim elders and leaders and this and that. And they had invited Imam Hussein also. They invited Imam also, Imam Hussein. And everyone came, and there you see Yazid was drunk. He was drunk. His advisor came to him and said, listen, you know, all the Muslim elders are coming and you smell terrible. You know, you smell terrible and all these drinks here, this and that. Yazid said, all right, why don't you take the drinks away and apply some ether, some perfume. Right? They applied, you know, perfume. He's still is smelling, but you know, the itr and the perfume is mixed. Ibn Abbas, you know, entered the room, you know, he didn't notice the smell. When Imam Hussein came in, right away Imam Hussein said, "What is this smell? What is this smell?" It's itr. He said, "This is the smell of alcohol. The smell of alcohol." Right? And, you know, the advisor was saying, no, it's not that, this and that, and all these things was going on. And Yazid, you know, he was impatient. He says, you know, the hell with this. Get the wine out. Get the wine out. The wine was brought out to him. And he offered it to Imam Hussein. He said, "Have some." Imam Hussein walked out. He walked out. My friends, Imam Hussein was not trying to expose Yazid. Yazid was already exposed. Everyone knew who Yazid was and what he stood for. What Imam Hussein was trying to expose were the people on whose shoulders Yazid was standing. You know, that's what he was trying to prove. You know, you think that Imam Hussein was unhappy when he was surrounded by Yazid's men on Ashura? Or you think he was unhappy? If you ask him, he'll say, "I'm much happier than that day that I was offered wine."
Wow.
This is, my friends, Imam Hussein wasn't trying to expose Yazid, as he was already exposed. Everyone knew who Yazid was. These were the people that Imam Hussein, the spineless group of people who were weak in faith. Their faith is weak, but the thing is that they're sly also. You see, they never get caught.
Yeah.
You see, the crime that they do, the crimes that they do cannot be tried in a court. Because they don't have the guts to commit real crime. Right? They don't have the courage to commit real crime. They hide behind other people. They push other people. They want power, but they don't have the guts to take it. These are the people. And these were the people that Allah mentions in the Quran. He mentions in the Quran, and He speaks about them. He says that there'll be a group of people in the hellfire.
Wow.
Allah speaks about a group of people in the hellfire, and these group of people will complain to Allah that, "Allah, it's not our fault. We were told by our kings and rulers, our leaders. We've just followed their commands and their orders. We were subjects. We are just subjects."
Yeah.
They were the rulers. Allah, punish them more. You see, they're making dua to Allah in hellfire. In hellfire, they're making dua to Allah. "Allah, punish those leaders. They made us do this. They made you do that. We were weak. We were just subjects. They were the rulers." No. And Allah will not pay them any attention. He will ignore them. Why? Because the fact is that you were not subjects. You subjected yourself to this. You subjected yourself to this. If you saw them, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something? My friends, these were the people because of whom Muawiyah was able to lead Friday prayers on Wednesday. Muawiyah led Friday prayers on Wednesday. And all these people came for it. Not one of them said, "What the hell is going on here? This is Wednesday, not Friday." No one dared to say that. And Muawiyah knew that, "I can do that and get away with it."
Wow.
Because I know these people do not have the guts to say anything out loud.
Wow.
You see, these were the people, my friends, that were truly harming the Imams. And all those others, they were just using them to stand on. If it wasn't for these people, then neither Muawiyah, neither Yazid would be able to do what he did to Imam Hussein. They couldn't. How many people were with Muawiyah? How many people were with Yazid? They didn't have the numbers. They got the numbers from this group of people.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you read about, oh, thousands of people came to Karbala. Who were these thousands? Right, who are these thousands? They didn't come from, his family, his relatives.
Wow.
You know, who are they? These were Muslims. You know? Shimr. May Allah curse him. This person was who? Who was this person? He was on the side of Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin.
Ya Allah.
The Battle of Siffin, he fought with Imam Ali. He was on his side, helping Imam Ali. Umar ibn Sa'd. In all the battles that Imam Ali faced, he was neutral. He stayed away. He says, I have nothing to do with this. All of these people were not some foreigners. Wow. They were from our own side.
Wow.
Understand who these people are, this fourth group we are talking about. Who's this fourth group? This is very important for us to understand. Who was Imam Hussein exposing? Because this fourth group are those people who want power. But they don't have the ability, they don't have the courage to stand up. Because when you stand up to get power, then your neck is on the line. They don't want to put their neck on the line. They want to have power. They want to pull the strings. They love it. But they don't have it in them to do it. Because their faith is weak and they're ignorant. Their faith is weak and they're ignorant. That's why they don't do it. This is, my friends, the group that Imam Hussein was exposing. And they always were there since the time of Imam Ali, before that. But you see, every time Haq was opposed by these people. These people, these cattle and sheep who were always used by those few zalim, and they will use them. And the reason they can use them is because their faith is weak and they're ignorant.
Wow, wow.
They cannot add 2 + 2 to know what's going on. That's what they are. You know, you'll see that. That's how it is. I mean, you will see these people. Even now, you see, these are the people.
Wow.
Right? These are the people that the enemy of our Imam, the enemies of our Imam depend on.
Wow.
Because they need those masses. And those masses were always looking for a king who would give them the power. But every time they would give power to the king would take it. So they always were looking for a system where they can rule, but they can hide behind that rule and not be hurt.
There's no
system. Yes, my friend, understand this. They built a system for that.
Yeah.
And they don't recognize it. These cowards built a system where they can rule. They can say that I am ruling, but they do not have to put their neck on the line. It's called democracy.
Yes, that's the name.
After a long time, they can make a system where these cowards can hide behind it. They don't want to put their neck on the line. So they hide behind it and say, oh, the people rule.
Rule what?
Yeah, you want to be a ruler, but you don't want to take responsibility for your actions. Who are you going to blame in democracy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to blame the people?
No.
Mm. You see? No, you can't. They were looking for this rule. They were looking for this law. They were always looking for it. And now when it came to them, they're happy. This is what we want. We want to be rulers. But we don't want to be blamed for our bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my friends, this is... You need to understand. These are the people that Imam Hussein wanted to expose.
Yes.
He wanted to expose this. Now let me turn this a little bit around. So that we can at least understand what's going on here. I gave you two qualities that these have. They were jahil, ignorant, and they are weak in faith. Their iman is weak. But you can say, Maulana, that describes us. Right? That is describing us. You know, are you an alim? No. I'm jahil. Are you strong in iman? No, I'm weak in iman. So what does that mean? Am I going to be on Yazid's side? Is Yazid using me?
Yes.
Is Muawiyah going to use me? Is he going to stand on my shoulders?
Yes.
Friends, the reality is, even though I want us to understand our position and know, because I will just explain to you the fourth group. How do we make sure that we don't belong to the fourth group now? How do we make sure of that? You know, because really, those two qualities apply to all of us. Right? You know, when we ask, okay, you know, if I ask you, you know, what's the level of your faith in Allah, in the Akhirah? Shaky to say the best. How much knowledge and ma'rifah do you have of Allah and the Imams? So, where do we go from here? Right? Where do we go from here? My friends, this is where I want to come. I said, you know, when you want to learn from Imam Hussein, learn. Learn something real. So that it can really make us stronger. To know where we stand and what we need to be to make sure that we don't go on Yazid's side and that we are actually with Imam Hussein. You know, even with the fact is this, my friends, if you have weak faith and if you are ignorant, then most likely you will be used. But there are certain qualities that you can adopt which can help you be on Imam Hussein's side. You see, even if you are weak in faith or you are ignorant, you can still be with Hussein. It's not that, you know, every weak person who is ignorant is going to be opposing Imam Hussein. No, it's not that. You see, Ahlul Bayt accept people who are weak in faith and ignorant. But we need to see what qualities do we must we have. My friends, sometimes you will see there are people who are ignorant and weak. This is the first quality I'm mentioning. There are people who are ignorant, there are people who are weak in faith. But you know, certain principles they have in life, right? Even though they don't understand a lot, they're very weak in their faith, but there are certain principles that they have that they hold on to steadfastly and they do not leave. Certain principles they have in life that they hold on to and they do not leave that. Finished. That's it. You know, they will not leave that. If a person lives according to some principles, even though he's ignorant, even though he's weak in faith, but those principles are such that he doesn't want to leave at all, he wants to stick with them, then you see that person could be saved.
Wow.
You know, I heard this example in Iran, you know, when I was with my friends there, and they gave me this very well-known example in Iran about this thug. With a thug, a criminal, in the time of the Shah. And, you know, hired thugs, you know, you hire them for doing things, you know, to kill people, mercenary, you know. And he would be doing all kinds of things. He would be hired by the government to do something like that. He was, you know, like a agent out there, and he would do these things. And he was very good with the knife. He can kill people and this and that. He was known for his, you know, being brave. And he was a good agent. So one time they approached him and they gave him a task. Right, they gave him a task and they said, listen, this is what we want to do. Get 8-10 people together in your gang. Right? Get them together. And you see these demonstrations going on. Go out in these demonstrations. And, you know, break windows. Break windows of stores, burn things, and do these type of things. And he said, that's easy. You know? And then, we'll arrest you. And we'll let you be interviewed by the press. And obviously, this guy was, you know, he knows what's going on, right? He knows, you know, what the deal is. He said, all right, you know, so who do you want me to blame it on? You know, that was the whole idea. You do these things and you blame it on Sayyid Ruhullah. On Imam Khomeini. Say that he hired me to do this. He said, what? What? He said, Emir al-Khomeini. He says, you want me to frame the son of Fatima? He said, no. Listen, man, you are a criminal, a thug. You have nothing to do with these things. You just work for money. Take the money and do it. He said, listen, I might do these things, but someone who is a Sayyid, and I'm going to blame him and I'm going to make his reputation bad? No, I cannot do that. I mean, the guy is ignorant. The guy doesn't know. He's jahil. But the one principle he had was that he loved Fatima. He had respect for Fatima. You see that? He had respect for Fatima. That's it. Right? He said, this line I will not cross. I do these things. I'm ignorant. I'm fool. But this line I will not cross. He said, listen, you know, if you don't do this, you know, we'll have to put you through hardship. He says, do what you want. I'm not afraid of you. And they did put him through hardship. They tortured him. They did all kinds of things to him. You know, his brother who went to meet him in jail, he was in jail. When he went to meet him in jail, he said that this guy used to be big and strong. And when I saw him, he was like a pipe. Wow. They had beat him up so much. They had beat him up so much. And he met his brother. He couldn't hardly speak through all the torture he went through. And the brother said that I asked him, are you okay? He said, listen, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I just want to tell you one thing. Right? Go and tell Sayyid Ruhullah, I mean Imam Khomeini. Go and tell him that I have not done khayanat or I have not deceived him.
Yeah.
And to give me shafaat on the Day of Judgment. Intercede for me on the Day of Judgment. I have not deceived him. I've went through a lot. I have not deceived him. I have not betrayed his trust. You know? And his brother says he went to Imam Khomeini. He explained the situation. Imam Khomeini said he doesn't need shafaat. Tell him that he is on the good books. My friends, sometimes what happens, you can be ignorant. You can be weak in faith, but if you hold on to the principle of at least the love of Ahlul Bayt, make a line for yourself, then you will see that you can still be with the Imam. This is the first thing. To us, we need to hold some line, some place that we do not cross. We don't cross this line, that's it. When it comes to Ahlul Bayt, we will not cross this line. Finished. When it comes to the love of Fatima, we will not cross this line, no matter what happens. We make that as a principle in our life, and you will see that that principle will make us grow towards Imam. And if we do not have those principles, then we will really be ignorant and weak in faith, and that will destroy us. So this is the first thing, my friends, that we need. If you want to be with the Imam, be this first thing. The second thing, we need to know these things, you know, so that We can adopt these things in our life and make ourselves such that we can be with the Imam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You know, really, you know, Ahlul Bayt, they accept people who are weak in faith. They have a very big heart. Allah, He speaks about the Prophet. He says, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak." Have we not made your chest, expanded your chest? You know, I mean, Rasulullah, I mean, how many ignorant people were there? But you see, He accepted them. He accepted them. Ahlul Bayt, they have the heart and the compassion that we truly, we don't understand. You know, you see, a lot of times, ignorant people, you don't understand these ignorant people, but really they are known as Arif. They are known as those who are close to Allah. Even if you're ignorant, you see, you can get there. Second quality. Now let me explain that with an example if you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, this is a story that we read. An incident that we read in books that we have of, you know, from a place in Iran called Isfahan. You know, you have those, this alim, he related this story. He was a very big alim, Ayatollah. And he used to walk through the bazaar to his class. Every day he would be walking through the bazaar with his class, and he used to see a person who was known as Hammal. Hammal, you know, those people who carry stuff, you know, for other people, you know. They get loads for other people and, you know, from one store to another, take them around. There they don't have trucks and forklifts, these have people, you know. In those days it was people who used to carry those stuffs. You know, I mean, he's known as, you know, like, they're known as Halu, right? And this story, really, the name of the person not mentioned is just him known as Halu of Isfahan. That's how it's mentioned in the books. And when I read this, you know, obviously, you know, this is something that you can learn from. Halu was someone who's simpleton, you know, didn't know much, ignorant, this and that. And every day, this Ayatollah used to see him, meet him. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. You know, every day they used to see each other. So after a while, you see that you know someone. You know that, you know, you recognize him. You know, you smile. Oh, you know, I see you every day. You know, and like that, they had this cordial relationship. Every day they would go. They would say salam to him and this and that. He would say that. And one day, you know, this Halu, he stopped the Ayatollah. He says, you know, I have a request from you. Would you, if I ask you for something, would you do it for me? That's something hard, something simple. If I ask you for something, he says, yes, anything. I know you for a long time, you're here. Yes, why not? Anything. He said, all right, you know, I'll come back to you. And then, the next day, you see that Halu was not in the bazaar. Right? He was not in the bazaar. And Ayatollah looked around, he said, he's not there. And after that, he went home. I mean, he saw him, he went home. Recognized that he wasn't there. Every day he used to see him there. He wasn't home. And then, when he reached home, his wife said that a person came to meet you. You know, he's from bazaar and this and that. And he came to meet you and this and that. He says, oh, you know, he wasn't there. He came here to meet me. He said, yes, you know, and he gave this address and he requested if you could come there. If you could come to him. Alright, you know, let me go there. And he saw the address is outskirts of Isfahan and one of those slums there and this and that. Horrible place to live. He went there and he went to his house. It was a house that was broken down, nothing much. He looked around, he said, you know, he was lying in bed and he was sick, he was ill. He said, listen, I appreciate that you came here. He says, yes, what do you want? But you don't look well, you're ill. He says, yes, I know I'm ill. You know, I know I'm ill, and I just requested you to come here. You said that you would do what I asked you to do. He said, yes, I would do that, but you need to go to a doctor. He said, no, I don't need a doctor. He says, but you're ill. I know the doctor's here. They can help you. He said, no, I'm okay. I just want you to do something for me. He said, what is it? He says that, please come back to my house tomorrow morning and you'll find my dead body here. You know, put my body in the ground. All right, put my body in the ground. He says, what are you talking about? You need a doctor. Let's go. He said, listen, I don't need you. I know I'm going to die tomorrow. And I'm letting you know. Just put my body in the ground. He says, but how do you know? He says, I've been told. He says, who told you that you'll die tomorrow? He says, my master told me. He says, who's your master? He says, Imam Zaman. He says, Imam told you, Imam meets you? He says, yes, he has graced me with his visits all my life. And this Ayatullah was looking at him. All his life he thought he's just a simpleton, Amal, who's ignorant, nothing. And here he sees that you are the friend of the Imam? He was proud of that fact. He said, I know the friend of the Imam. And this person said, yes. And he said, how did it happen? He says, when I was young, my friends, the second thing we can dance at. When I was young, I heard about Mahdi Zahra, the Mahdi of Zahra. I heard about the Imam and I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. Every time my thoughts would be for him, my heart would be for him. And the Imam came to visit me. And at the end of our visit, I did not want him to go. So I told the Imam that what would make you come back to me? The Imam said, I will come back to you if you be good. And from that time onwards, my whole life was just spent in being good. So that my Imam can visit me. So that my Imam can visit me. And this person, this alim, he said, he went out, promised to come back the next day. On his way back, in the middle of the path, he thought that, wait a minute. The Imam is going to come here. I will be in the position to meet him. I would be in the position to see him, to meet him when he comes to meet him. So he went back, halfway through the way he went back. He went back and he saw that in that alley that led to his door, that little alley that led to his door, there was so much light that he wanted to get past it, but he couldn't. And the more he tried, he could not find the door to get in until he fell unconscious. When he woke up, he saw himself in a bed and he saw this person. He saw this man, Halu, on the ground reading the Quran and crying. He was crying. And the alim, the Ayatullah, he asked him, did the Imam come? He said, yes, the Imam came. He says, did you give him my salam? He says, yes, I gave him your salam and he also sends his salam to you. He also sends his salam to you. My friends, Imam, this person is ignorant. Really, he's ignorant. But you see, the second quality is that if you have the purity of heart, if your heart is pure, if you have accepted him with a pure heart, you see that the Imam would accept you. No matter how bad you are, no matter what situation you're in, you can be ignorant, but still the Imam would accept you. Really, Ahlul Bayt accept those who are weak in faith and those who are ignorant. Ahlul Bayt accept those people. You know, this acceptance is not, my friends, for them it's easy, but for us, we feel that sometimes they will not accept us in the position we are. But if we have that love, if we have those principles to live by, they come. When we accept them with a pure heart, they come. Even though we might be as ignorant, as weak in faith as Hur was. You know, Hur was ignorant and he was weak in faith. You know, to such an extent that he is the one who opposed Imam Hussein. He's the one who blocked his way. And he was so ignorant and he was so weak in faith that Imam Hussein told him, "May your mother cry for you in mourning." Imagine that. "May your mother cry for you." Who would Imam Hussein say that to? Someone who has done something really ignorant. Someone who had shown that he is weak in faith. Imam Hussein, when he accepts even those who are weak in faith. Even those who are weak in faith, he accepts. And Hur, when Hur knew what he had done, when he realized what he had done, he knew, how can he face Hussein? What can I do to face Hussein? When he heard the children of Hussein crying out in thirst, "Alatash, Alatash," how can I face Hussein knowing that I put him and his family through this? How can I face him? With what face can I go in front of him? Hur, when he wanted to come to Hussein, he took off his shoes, tied their laces, and he put those shoes on his neck with his head bowed down, and he wants to come to Hussein. He wants to come to Hussein, but you see how Hussein accepts those who are weak in faith. You want to see that? Just ask Hur. You see, sometimes what happens when we do wrong, we instead of trying to just accept that we have done it, we try to justify it. We do try to justify it. We said something wrong, we did something wrong. Instead of saying, "Hey, you know what, I did wrong." No, we try to justify. "You know, the reason this happened is because of this." Why are you trying to argue? Why are you trying to justify? Just accept that you have done wrong. Put your shoes on your neck, bow down and ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Don't you see, Hur, he knows that he has done wrong. He has accepted it, and he has also accepted with all Hussein with all his heart. He has accepted Hussein with all his heart. Now he wants to come to Hussein. He wants to come to Hussein. He is bowed down. He is bowed down. His eyes are blindfolded. He cannot see. He doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to see. He looks around and asks his servant, "What do you see?" He said, "I see someone coming towards us." He says, "Look carefully and see who it is and tell me. This is Abul Fazl al-Abbas. He is coming to greet us, to welcome us." Hur said that Hussein is showing this respect for him, this honor. Hur started beating his head. And when he came close to Hussein, Hur fell down from his horse. He fell down from his horse and started crawling on the sand of Karbala. Started crawling on the sand of Karbala. And there you see Hussein came towards him, picked him up and said, "Hur, you have come to me." Hur said, "Forgive me, master, forgive me, I've done wrong." And Hussein said, "Hur, you have been forgiven. I forgive you and Allah has forgiven you. I forgive you and Allah has forgiven you." My friends, you know, today is the 2nd of Muharram. Today, really, you see, everyone's heart is racing. Everyone's tears are flowing. Everyone's heart is pumping. And they feel that mourning. And you know why? You know why? Let me tell you why. Why your heart is racing. Why from the 2nd of Muharram, things start to go on another level for Muharram. You know why? Because Zainab has come to Karbala. Zainab has come to Karbala, and it's her heart that is pounding now. It's her blood that is racing. It's her pulse that is moving. And this is Zainab who has become anxious. We feel that anxiousness of Zainab. We feel the worry of Zainab. No matter where Mu'mineen are, they feel Zainab's sadness. They feel what Zainab is going through. And they also start to cry. You know, Hussein had come to Karbala on the 2nd of Muharram. You know, how many years did the Kaaba wait for Ali to be born in it? You know, Hussein wasn't the one waiting for Karbala. It was Karbala that was waiting for Hussein. Hussein, you're here, my dear Hussein, you're here. Allah has made me to be your home. You have come to me. It is Karbala. How many years did Karbala wait for Hussein? Hussein's blood will be shed here. You know. Ibrahim was walking through Karbala and his foot struck a stone in Karbala and his toe started to bleed. His toe started to bleed and the blood of Ibrahim went into the sand of Karbala. Ibrahim looked at that blood and said, Ya Allah, what is this? What is this? Allah replied to him and said, Ibrahim, you know that the best blood will be shed on this land. The best blood will be shed on this land. So I wanted your blood also to be mixed with it. My friends, Zainab has come to Karbala today. Zainab is worried. Zainab is anxious. May our heads be covered with the dust of Karbala. Do you want to reach Karbala? You want to go to Karbala? You want to be in Karbala? Hussein has reached it. When are we going to reach it? Hussein, I ask you, for us to reach there, we are ignorant, we are weak in faith. We need you to keep put our hand in your hand and pull us there. Hussein, do that for us so that we can be with you. You know, they were companions. They were the companion who heard about Karbala. You know, we heard about Karbala. He heard from Rasulullah about Karbala. He heard from Imam Ali about Karbala. And you know, that person, he went so far that he knew that Hussein is going to be killed here. He wanted to be there so he can spill his blood with Hussein. He was there before Imam Hussein reached there. He was standing in Karbala waiting for him. When will we become like that? When our Imam is coming so that we can wait for him. Imam is the man, we ask you. Why aren't we waiting for you? Why aren't our hearts waiting for you? What is wrong with us that we cannot wait for you? When Imam Hussein came to Karbala, you know, his horse, the name of his horse was Zuljana. You know, Zuljana was a trusted horse of Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein would ride that horse. And Zuljana had many things left in him to do. Zuljana Kapil Jinnah knew where his destination was. Kapil Jinnah knew what his destination was. Allah had made him for that. Allah had made him that Kapil Jinnah, this is going to be your home also. You will be with Hussein. You know, it is said that those who went, those companions of the cave, when they went to the cave, Allah kept them alive for so long. There was a dog also that was with them. Allah gave that blessing to the dog also, that this dog will be alive with Ashabi Kahf, and that it will wake up also. This Kapil Jinnah, what can I say about Kapil Jinnah? When he came to Karbala, he is the one who stopped, and Hussein was telling him, Kapil Jinnah, come on, why aren't you going forward? Kapil Jinnah would not go forward. I am your Imam, Kapil Jinnah, go forward. What can Kapil Jinnah say? His tongue is tied. But if he had the voice, he would say that, Hussein, you are my Imam, but my Khalik has told me to stop here. This is my destination. Hussein saw that Kapil Jinnah stopped. Hussein saw that Kapil Jinnah had stopped there. And he wanted to let everyone know, show the emphasis of his movement and where he is going from where and where he's going to end. He got onto another horse so that would ride, but that horse also would not go anywhere. And got into a third horse. It is said that he chained 7 horses one after another until everyone got off. When everyone got off to see what Hussein was doing, then Hussein asked the people around the area, who knows this land? Bring them to me. An old person was brought, a very old person was brought there. He could hardly walk. People helped him to come there. And as he was brought there, he said, what is this land called? What is this place called? And Hussein wanted everyone else to know. Hussein wanted everyone else to know that he's emphasizing this so that they know where they're stopping. Know why they're stopping there. Know that, you know, this is the promise that I've been promised. This is the land that I've been promised. When they were brought there, when this old man came there, Hussein asked him, tell me, what is the name of this land? He said, this is known as Shatul Furat. Yeah, Shatul Furat. He says, okay, is there another name for this? He said, this is also called Nainawa. Nainawa. He said, is there any other name for this? He says, I heard my ancestors, they used to call this land by the name of Karbala. Karbala, you call it Karbala. When Hussein heard that, he called Abbas and said, Abbas, this is the place, pitch our tents here. When Abbas gave the order, my friends understand, when Abbas gave the order, the youth of Bani Hashim, a group amongst them went around the camel of Zainab and made a circle around there. Then Zainab al-Kubra is coming down. The princess of the house of Rasulullah. My friend, now when you see how Hussein pitched the tents, you know what he did. He asked the people to come. Bani Asad used to live nearby. He asked them to come there, and he had a meeting with them. He said, this land, who does the land belong to? And then he made a deal for that land. He said that I want to buy this land. And he paid them the money for it. And now he said, now I have given you this land. I want to give you this land. They said, but you just bought this land. Now Imam Hussein said, I will give you this land. He said, but why? Why do you want to give us this land? He says, because I just want you to do one thing for me. If you accept it, do one thing for me. He says, what is that? Can you barely hear what Hussein had said? And what others had felt when Hussein said this. He told them, I ask you one thing. I'm giving this land to you. But one thing I want from you. If you that on the 11th of Muharram, when the 11th of this month will come, our dead bodies will be lying here. I just want you to put those bodies in the ground and give us a funeral. Put it in the ground. And the men, they said, yes, we will do that. But they didn't know what would happen. And but Hussein knew. Maybe the men would get afraid. Maybe the men would get afraid. Because the army, they don't want to get involved. It will be too political. They don't want to get involved. Then he said, call your women. I want to talk to them also. The women were called. The women of Bani Asad were called. He said, listen, if your husbands are too afraid, if they are too afraid to come and bury us, then come near our bodies and throw some sand on our bodies. You don't have to carry anyone, just throw sand from far away so that we are draped in sand. And then when they told that to the woman agreed. But Hussein wanted to do his hujjat. He wanted to do his hujjat. What can I say? He said, come, I want to speak to your children. My children, do you hear this? Listen to me as I'm speaking to you. Children came to Imam Hussein. Little children came to Imam Hussein. And he looked at them playfully and joyfully. How can you talk to a child? Imam Hussein knows more than anyone else. Playfully he talked to them. Jokingly he talked to them. My children, I want you to do something for me. I want you to do something for me on the 11th of Muharram. On the 11th of Muharram. If you see that your parents are too afraid to bury us in the ground, you know, I allow you to play on the 11th of Muharram. Come out here playfully. Throw some dirt on our dead body. سيعلم الذين تعلم هيا منقلب ينقلب يا محمود بحق انا بحكي لي تسول فاطمه تبعك السر حسان سيعلم الذين تعلم هيا منقلب ينقلب ما تلمسني يا حسن.